The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Good morning, and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay, we got Charlie, and we got you. And good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, brought to you by DraftKings. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. We see what you guys are talking about, so thanks so much for watching the show and keeping the conversation going. We're with you until 10 o'clock, then Mike Greenberg comes in from 10 to noon here on Chicago's Home for Sports. So we just got through Election Day, Cap, so no more rogue text messages, no more attack ads.
David Kaplan, too extreme for Illinois.
We don't have any more of that anymore.
None of that.
Right?
All gone, no more of those robo text messages. Do you know what my friend Anthony Durunda, who's produces for me at TV. Mm-hmm. He's an awesome guy. He gets those text messages. Whoever they are, He writes them back.
Yeah.
He does.
I've done that.
Yes. I will not be voting for your candidate. And he looks out. He said, I just want someone to read it.
I just tell him F off.
That's what you do? You yeah. say F off?
I seriously do. I say, no, I'm not. I just F off. Leave me alone.
But I support everyone's right to vote for whoever you want.
No, I understand, but the text messages are just, you know, hey, here I like the idea that they're telling you where you can vote. Mm-hmm. Just don't tell me who to vote for, because don't assume, right?
You make an ass out of you and me.
Let me take a look at your zip code. Oh, this means that you don't know.
Correct.
So, and that's evasive to me. Is that fair to say?
Yep. When
they're asking you exactly. Hey, support this, support that. I'll let you know when I vote.
So I took a picture of my ballot yesterday.
Okay. Well, do not.
I'm not putting it on social media because It's no one's business. Yes. They would just be shocked.
Yes.
My kids were like, what? Yes. Because I look at each race.
You do look at each race. That's interesting. We're looking at one now, but go ahead.
Wow. I look at each individual.
How about that, Charlie?
Office. I look at each office and go, yeah, you know what?
You all right? What's the matter? What's the matter, Shay? What did I do wrong?
Nothing. It's great.
I look at each office and I figure out who I want to vote for. So that's the deal. So now we're going to get onto the Bears, White Sox, Cubs, Bulls, GM.
I thought you had a little bit more there.
And highest approval rate.
Do you have any more on that, Callaway? You got more you want to break down?
No, I just believe that people should exercise their right to vote every time there's an election. It's our civic duty. People died for that.
Right? No question about that. So
whoever you vote for.
Because we are just through the election cycle, we want you to vote at least one more time at ESPN 1000 on Twitter.
Yes.
And also on our phone lines at 312-332-3776. So we want you to take a look at the Bears. And so obviously at 3-6, you may not like the record, but over the last three games in particular, the offense has opened up. We saw this starting with the New England Patriots, where out of nowhere, the Bears were able to beat the all-time great coach, Bill Belichick. And then from there, just watching the last couple of games against the Dallas Cowboys in this game recently in which the Bears fell short against the Miami Dolphins. And so what we saw, Cap, is the offense opening up to levels we haven't seen since the mid-90s in Eric Kramer. We haven't seen anything quite like this. And this is because, and let's go to the Dallas game in particular, you saw Justin Fields move around the pocket, and he was able to get some production that we haven't seen in a long time. There's a vast gulf and a big difference between, say, the Washington game, in which the Bears lost to the Commanders, and the last three games for the Bears.
Because they were willing to change what they were doing. Unlike last year, or 2 years ago, whenever Matt Nagy said, I didn't come here to run the I formation.
Mm-hmm.
He came here to win football games.
He didn't realize he actually could do both.
Correct. Luke Getsy said, we can't protect this kid in the pocket, and we don't have enough receiving talent that gets big-time separation, So here's what we're going to do. And I think the other 52 outside of Justin are going, hallelujah, we're trying to win. We may not, but at least they're trying to put this kid in the best possible position as well as the team.
Now, I'm not going to steer the vote here, but I just know that people are happy for Justin Fields. You're on vacation calling in from an island and just screaming it into a phone anywhere you can find about how the Bears got Justin Fields. I'm here with Hanley, and I'm overjoyed when the Bears were able to get Justin Fields because I saw him in college, and I know what kind of leadership he brings. And I said, here's something different in the position that we haven't seen in a long time. Justin Fields. I said, boy, here's an opportunity here for this guy to be a cornerstone player for this team for a decade. He could be, because we've had quarterbacks for 2 years, 3 years. Cutler was here for a long time. But yet this person brings something different to the table at the quarterback position.
So I was in Florida, actually, when that went down. And we were eating dinner out on a street.
Was it on an island? It was on an island, was it not?
Yeah, it was down in Naples. And I remember calling you.
Yes.
Saying, I just got a text message from somebody that works up in the Lake Forest area. Mm-hmm. I think we're trading for Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yes.
And when I watched the draft, and they said, we have a trade. Chicago has traded, blah, blah, blah. They and with that pick, our guy, we've got it in the system. How exciting is this? Mm-hmm. Our guy from Chicago. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. Chicago, my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields. And place went nuts. And I said it out loud, like, yes, to my wife. 10 tables at the restaurant in Florida. Turn around. We just got Justin Fields.
Yes.
I watched it, and it was like, this is the most exciting thing I've seen since the Cubs won the World Series.
Exactly right, because you felt like you have something special. You've gotten a quarterback high in the draft that you reached for, and you have Justin Fields in place. But there's others to look at this as well. Cap, part of this, what is supposed to be a successful Bears franchise for the future, what about Matt Eberflus? When I think you might have broken on our show that Matt Eberflus was named the head coach for the Bears.
That is correct.
And what did I tell you?
He won't make it to Arlington.
I said
that literally. I remember because I was in that seat. You were in this seat.
Yes.
And I looked at it. Matt Eberflus is the new coach. What? And I said, we have breaking news. Played the breaking news sounder. I read said story. And I said, Hoodie, your thoughts? He won't make it to Arlington Heights. That was your first response. I'm like, holy. Hey, welcome to the job, Matt. I wouldn't unpack everything.
I'm just saying that it felt, and it feels, still feels transitional to whatever is next. To me, I'm not trying to throw him out the door, Cap. I'm not saying that. But it wasn't the splash hire that you and I thought that the Bears should make.
Correct.
Someone with experience. You already went with Fox, no experience with Nagy. Okay, experience. It didn't work out that way. It's a longtime defensive coordinator that's now the head coach. I think he's done fine. It's fine. I think the one loss record tells you all you need to know about where this team is going. It is in a transitional period.
Yes, they're 3-6 for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, somebody tweeted at me the other day, we should actually be 6-3. No, yeah. Actually you shouldn't. Because if you want to start doing that game, take away the Noah's Ark game that we had week one. You probably lose that mm-hmm. to the Niners. And take away the Texans game because you got two tipped interceptions. Take that away and you might lose that game. You are what your record says you are. You're 3-6.
The other thing I hate about that is assigning a win against the Vikings because of the Amir Smith-Marset fumble. That wouldn't have been the end of the drive. We don't know what would have happened after that. You'd still be in a position Agreed. To win, sure, but we don't know what would have happened. If people want to say, well, we're a muffed punt away from beating the Commanders, okay, that's true. But that's even if you get that win, it's an ugly win and you're 4-5. It's not a whole lot better.
Okay, so we get Eberflus, there's Fields, and there's Luke Getsy. You know, the coach that gets a beating in this town the most is the offensive coordinator for the Bears, whoever it is, because we've been looking and begging for offense for a long time in this city.
Right, this is the first OC that I remember where people are thinking, oh boy, we've got something here, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Ron Turner, brief. Mike Martz, not really, never kind of worked.
It was Gary Croton and
John Shoup yeah. and Mike Martz and Mike Tice.
Pep Hamilton. There's a lot
of names. Pep Hamilton, yeah. Jeremy Bates. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of names working with the offense.
And so here's Getsy.
How much, I like what I've seen.
So how much credit do you give him? Because we saw what it looked like at the beginning, and now it's opened up because Fields can run. Fields can run, but also Fields can be killed for being able to run
there's
as much as he can.
No question.
But that, I mean, he's unlocked the opportunity for Fields to run. That doesn't mean the offense is fixed. Right? Or am I wrong about that?
I don't know if this offense, as currently constructed, is sustainable long-term.
Now without talent.
No, you've got to get him more talent.
All right. Okay, and then, of course, there's Ryan Poles, which we talked about earlier. How much credit does he get for what's going on? We already had in our previous poll in the 7 o'clock hour that, hey, the jury's still out on Poles because, hey, Justin Fields is not his guy. That's not who he drafted. And so the draft picks so far, Brisker and Gordon, I told you yesterday, Brisker, Gordon, and the punter Gill are the three that stand out to me so far in this draft class.
Correct.
You think Braxton Jones has more upside than I do.
I think he has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get stronger.
Yeah.
I asked Olin, who would know, Braxton Jones. He said, right now he's not strong enough. He's got to get a bigger lower half so he can get a wide bay and hold people out. He gets bull rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a rookie coming from whatever level he was playing at. He wasn't playing at Alabama. So it's going to take time.
So, Shane, let's open the phone lines here at our 9 o'clock hour. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I already know. When I ask the question, who gets the highest approval rating from the Bears? Fields, Poles, Eberflus, or Getsy? We know who's going to win the poll. You know what I'm interested in is who's second. That's what I'm interested in. Fields is going to win the poll.
Yeah, right now. You want the results right now?
Oh, is it up?
Fields, 58.4%. Getsy is second. Eberflus third. Poles fourth.
Okay, that's what I'm interested in. Fields is going to win this poll. We get that. But we just want to find out from you who gets the highest approval rating from the Bears. If Fields is first, who's second? Is it the head coach? Is it general manager? Or is it the offensive coordinator, based on what you've seen so far through the first nine games of the season? We'll get your reaction coming up. Still to come on the show, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers, his thoughts about the Cubs and Sox, or the GM meetings are taking place. We'll get some information from Jesse coming up at 9:35.
Look forward to it.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the My Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
And that's where it started. Justin Fields named the Bears quarterback and draft pick on a great day. Unbelievable.
And Eddie Jackson.
We got ourselves a...
Yeah, by time we get us a real, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Let's go, man.
A real what? What do you mean, sir?
Sorry, Mitch.
I think we know what he meant there in that spot.
Yeah.
But here's what it was just a great day, and we're just seeing the development of Justin Fields. We know that the poll we have up at ESPN 1000 on Twitter, who gets the highest approval rating for the Chicago Bears this season, Justin's going to win that poll. But I think that we're interested in finding out who else gets credit. Is it Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles, and Luke Getsy? Vicki McHenry said, it's a dumb poll. It's a no-brainer. Well, we're trying to find out who's second, third, and fourth, Vicki.
Vicki.
Yeah, just gonna turn on the show, listen to it, okay?
Okay.
Just
better than that.
Just do that for us. We know it's a dumb poll, so they're like, okay, that's fine. We're trying to find out how the fans feel about the offensive coordinator, the general manager, and the head coach.
Thank you.
So 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Must be a slow day with the cookies today. back to the phone lines.
Vicki is an accomplished baker for those who, like, who are they talking about?
Yes. Crystal Lake, here's Steve on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Love the show, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Yep. So I think Getsy right now is a clear number two because I really do believe that he's unlocked something here. He understands what he has. He's making it work. But I also feel like if Eberflus continues to really establish himself as the clear leader of this team, you know, getting guys to believe that, you know, our talent night might not be there right now, but if we do our jobs, we hold ourselves accountable, we can get out there and play with anybody, and we'll start stacking some dubs like the Giants are doing with Dayball.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. It's so funny you mentioned the Giants, Steve, because the jury was still out of as far as their quarterback situation as well. Because at the time, Cap, I can't speak for you. I just know at the time of the draft, the quarterback that they selected, and they thought, well, they have like the next Eli Manning. Well, that's not what you strive for.
Correct.
And not initially in the draft.
Well, you're looking for somebody that you could plug and play for 10 years and go, that's our guy. Mm-hmm. Every time we take the field, we have an advantage at quarterback.
Yeah, we're glad you checked in. We appreciate your telephone call. Now, Healy's line open, 312-332-3776. As far as approval ratings, Cap, for this, as we do our last bit of voting here for this week, mm-hmm. could there be a possibility that polls could be fourth in this list?
Yes. 100%.
Because we don't know yet. Yeah.
Again, he has torn the roster apart.
Mm-hmm.
What has he added, truly added, that you go, oh my goodness. Like, when Theo and Jed drafted Chris Bryant, everyone went, okay, there's a chance right there. That guy could be an MVP candidate. Or when they traded for Rizzo. Wow. That was a big-time move. Or John Lester signed. Or they went and got Ben Zobrist, started seeing all these pieces.
Mm-hmm.
What has Poles done in terms of adding, not subtracting and going, that was a really good trade to get picks? Now he's got to execute.
This offseason, we're going to find out.
Again, Ryan Pace works for the Atlanta Falcons, and it was time for change. But all the players we're excited about right now on this roster, with the exception of Brisker and Gordon and a punter, from Mooney, your top receiver, to Tevin Jenkins, mm-hmm. Cody Whitehair, Justin Fields, David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, Jalen Johnson, Eddie Jackson, those are all guys that were here. Again, let me be clear. It was time for change. They didn't win enough football games.
Sure.
They didn't. The plan wasn't being executed. They hired the wrong head coach. All of it. That's why Poles has this job. But there are some pieces left. Let's just be clear.
Why did it take 7 games for the Bears to, I guess, for Getsy and Eberflus to say, let this kid get out of the pocket? They tried it for all the way up to the Commanders game, mm-hmm. and it changed. Why did it take that long, you think? Because you know coming in, even if you hadn't coached him before, you've seen the film from college to where he was right before the new regime kicked in, that this guy is fleet of foot.
But he was not a running quarterback at Ohio State. He was a passer.
But he can run, though.
He can.
Yes.
But that is a drastic change. You practice throughout training camp a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to completely change, so they use the mini bye to be able to do that. They had that chance. They knew they weren't going to the playoffs anyway.
So I would say that if I'm going to have a second vote, if Justin's going to win this poll, which he will, then number two, I think I'm clicking Getsy and the offensive game plan. Eberflus has got to sign off on it, sure, right? I mean, but still.
Justin's one and Poles is four for me.
Yeah, but Getsy,
you can flip around the other two either way.
But, I mean, someone's got to unlock that game plan that says, okay, we're going to do something different. Man, this previous regime would have had Justin locked in the pocket. He wouldn't have to. He couldn't run for a first down under Nagy. Trubisky wanted that, and he was not allowed to do so. That's something that's underreported, that Trubisky every now and then would say, hey, you know, I'd really like to be able to move around the pocket some, and he was not allowed to do that. Trubisky in North Carolina could run the football. It was 13 starts. 13 games. But the few that I saw, I was like, the guy can run out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. Can run for a first down. You're not allowed to do that with Nagy. So I would think I'm giving Getsy credit for that.
But the head coach has to sign off
sure.
on that.
Sure.
So you could go Eberflus 2, Getsy 3. You could go 2 and 2A.
Mm-hmm.
You could go a number of ways.
But that doesn't work in the election booth unless you're voting twice.
We do that in Chicago.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. All right, let's go to Crestwood. Here's Nathan on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Nathan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think this poll is kind of represents the situation, really. Obviously, Fields, everybody likes the flash. He's doing great.
Yeah.
Then you got Getsy, who kind of got him there, you know, like Nagy. Man, he was just so stuck in his ways. They had to fit his thing, you know. And then you got Eberflus. I mean, my problem with him is, like, he's a defensive coach. The defense was pretty darn good the first several games. Then, like, I don't think Quinn and Smith were that good, where it fell off that bad. So I could see where he fell down the ranking. And Poles is interesting just because it's like probably the first GM I could think of where he was able to completely break it down, you know. So he hasn't had a chance to do his job yet. He's just getting ready to do that this offseason. So he's going to be at the bottom right now because there's nothing to show for it. But right. I think he's doing a good job.
All right, my friend. We appreciate the phone call. Make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's like, again, nothing happens without Eberflus signing off on it.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Getsy could sleep in the office during the mini bye for four straight days and come out and go, I figured it out. Here's what we're going to do. And Matt Eberflus could go, no, you're not. This is my football team.
Yes.
You work for me.
Right.
He had to sign off on it.
Glass City, Toledo, Ohio, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Tom on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
A lifeline Bears fan. But I think the guy who should be on this poll should be George McCaskey. He's the dude signing the checks. He's the one who hired Poles. He's the one who went to the airport to pick him up, to show him we really need something here. And I think he picked the right guy. And I think he is the most important.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
No. No, I can't.
Well,
like,
he's
Tom,
signing the checks, man.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
He is.
Tom Ricketts was the guy that went and wooed Theo.
Yes.
And got him. That story's been told a billion times. But in the end, Theo and Jed were the one making all the roster moves. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that flew down and wooed Joe Maddon to leave Tampa, come here. Like, yeah. Tom played a part, obviously. But in the end, it's the guys who are adding the talent to the team. Tom deserves a lot of credit, George, for getting what we hope are the right guys. Like, Theo was a proven hire.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know. If we take the same tenure for Matt Nagy, he was coach of the year. Everyone thought, wow, we got the right guy. We went 12-4, and not so much.
312-332-3776 is our phone number here on Cap and Jay Hood. We're going to hear from Jesse Rogers with a baseball update coming up. But we want you to jump in on this poll question as we go to Los Angeles, California, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Is David on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys. Listen, it's great to talk to you again. Hoodie, welcome back.
Thank you.
I listen to your show every day.
Thanks.
I came into the house the other day, and my girlfriend's standing here in the living room. In some lingerie, and you know what I said to her? Oh, God!
Yes! that's the right response, David.
Love it.
Absolutely.
And I didn't have a Bluetooth, so 3 minutes later, you know what I said to her?
What?
Take that! She smacked me in the head. That's life. So listen, the reason I'm calling is because I don't think you're seeing this. It's like, I think that it's Poles has to be the number two guy. Because Poles is the one that's put Luke Getsy in his spot. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, Poles is the one that got Eberflus. Correct me if, like,
that's correct.
It's like Poles is the one that's putting all this together. He's, I think, and we're going to find out when we get that $100 million, we get the new stadium, we get all that. I don't know if it's not even the new stadium, just next season. That $100 million and cap, and then we have all those, we'll sign all these new guys in the first round draft pick. We'll really get to see who he is and what it is that he's doing. As a GM, and I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited to see how this all plays out.
Dave, we appreciate the telephone call.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave is in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Hello, Dave.
Oh, great to be with you folks this morning. Hey, real quick, how'd you do on that IUPUI game the other night, Cat?
It won by a billion.
Oh, Great.
Played 26 and a half, and it won by 40-some.
Wonderful. So, David, he made a billion, and he still came to work the next day. How about that?
Hey, man, that's why he's our guy. He's our guy. Hey, real quick, I know you don't like to hear these kind of answers, but on that poll, it's kind of unfair. I almost think you have to do 1A, B, C, and D. All those guys, to use a collaborative word from George, I mean, they are coming together to, you can see, them putting their two cents in and making the various changes that need to be made to make Justin be successful. And boy, it's been just a pleasure to watch. I'm so excited. And of course, it's been said a million times, even though the record doesn't, you know, it's not what we want it to be. We see it gives us great hope, and it's just a wonderful thing to see this happening. So I almost think it's almost all of them have to be given so much credit. And real quick, that's not saying anything you guys don't already know. But are we seeing maybe now that even though we always said anybody could be the quarterback's coach for Rodgers through the years, and we see him kind of struggling, now that Hackett has left and Getsy has left, isn't this kind of proven that maybe Getsy and Hackett deserve a little bit more credit than maybe we've given them through the years?
For Aaron Rodgers' success? Or
yeah, for Aaron Rodgers. Now that we're seeing what Getsy has kind of done for Justin or is doing, of course, Nathaniel Hackett, the jury's still out in Denver, but we see those two guys leave, and you know, obviously Devontae left as well. But should we maybe give Getsy and Hackett maybe a little bit more credit than we have?
When we slice up the credit pie, you give it all to Devontae Adams. That, I mean, he was holding up that offense, I mean, and now he's gone.
That's a huge loss. Bakhtiari hasn't been healthy. He is back now. Mm-hmm. Elgton Jenkins was banged up. Like, they're having a rough year. They are. Losing Devontae was a massive loss. Massive. Yeah, I'm sure they were good assistants. In the end, they've had a generational quarterback to tutor. He's gotten older. Talent has left. So there's, you know, certain issues out there. But yeah, I'll give them credit, but I don't think they deserve more than they've gotten.
David, we appreciate the telephone call. And coming up next, Jesse Rogers from Las Vegas, the latest on the Cubs and the Sox. What are they doing here in the offseason? Find out next on Cap and Jay Hood.
It's Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with you until 10, and then it'll be Greenberg, Mike Greenberg from 10 to noon, Carmen Yurko 12 to 2, Walden Sylvie 2 to 6, Bleck and Abdallah 6 to 8, 8 to midnight. It will be Freddie and Fitzsimmons right here on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers covers baseball for ESPN. He joins us here from Las Vegas as we get an update on the Cubs and the White Sox. Hello, Jess.
Good morning, sunshine. What's happening, boys?
Jesse!
You know what's happening. Dusty Baker, he is solidified now, a World Series champion. Let's start there. Your feeling about Dusty Baker after all these years of covering him with the Cubs and everything else, when you saw the final out of the season, what'd you think?
I thought this is a guy that's been in it so long and finally won. I can't imagine the feeling. You've been chasing this for so long, and you finally got there. If you talk to players and the players that have been around a while, they say he's evolved, that he's gotten even better over time. Remember, the analytic world has taken over, and he's been just seamless in entering that world and managing this team. It was actually a perfect fit as you look back at the cheating scandal. They bring in a guy with a lot of integrity, a player's manager, and they're able to get back to back World Series and win it.
Danny and Sylvie have to be thrown up that Dusty is now a lock to go to the Hall of Fame.
I know. I was in your camp as he left town here in Chicago. I wasn't as down on him as everyone else. So I'm not down that he won a World Series, but this is his ticket to the Hall of Fame. No doubt about it.
No
doubt. Did a great job.
No doubt.
Had the best team, but did a great job.
Danny says he thinks it's fitting Dusty Baker managed a group of cheaters to the World Series.
Yeah, I figured Danny would say that, but there was only like five left over, and only three of them were playing, really. So you can't indict the whole team right now, and they had all eyes. Trust me, all these teams in the playoffs had all their eyes on anything that could be, you know, considered a little shaky there. And the commissioner's office, certainly at least not yet, has said anybody has been cheating during these playoffs. So take that, Danny.
Both the White Sox and the Cubs are looking for new talent. Your ears to the ground. What are you hearing first from the White Sox? What are you hearing there?
Oh, Dan. I mean, Jonathan, you want to put your hands over your ears. It is very early in the process, and this makes this what I'm hearing even worse. Like, usually you might hear something a few weeks in, a month in, but right off the bat, we're talking days into the offseason, the vibe around the White Sox is they don't have money to spend, or they're not willing to spend it. However you want to say it, this whatever fix they're going to have, it's not going to be throwing money at it. It's kind of crazy. Already hearing from agents just 2 days in, they don't have money to spend. And in fact, Han really kind of said that yesterday. I put it to him straight. Are you more likely to make some trades or fix things through free agency? Most of the time, GMs will be hemming and hawing over that question. He said trades. He said trades. Didn't say that they didn't have any money, but it was kind of by inference. So you have the White Sox indicating we're not going to spend on free agency, and you have agents sort of confirming that. To hear it from both sides so early, Jonathan, was a little bit of a surprise. So Sox fans, be ready for Oscar Colas possibly taking over in right field. Han mentioned him. Maybe an internal answer at second base after saying goodbye to Josh Harrison. And then if they make a big trade, think about the tradable parts. Is it Vaughn? Is it Eloy? You don't get Max for Eloy. You don't even get Max for Luis Robert because of the injury history. So there's not as many tradable pieces. You know, Moncada's not tradable. Grandel's not tradable. So you got to look to Giolito. I don't know if you trade Liam Hendricks to really mix things up. But, man, it is going to be a tough offseason if they're not spending money.
Okay, so let's go from Hoodie's about to just have a like puke all over the control panel right now. He's so mad. Let's go to the other side where they got nothing but money. They got Hayward off the books. I know they have to pay him, but he's gone. So are they going to be in on Trey Turner, my preferred choice? Are they going to be in on Correa, Bogarts, Aaron Judge, Kode Senga, the Japanese star pitcher? Or, no, we're not really going to do any of that.
So I don't. You got to almost go one by one. No on Turner, but not because of them. I don't think Turner's going to end up in Chicago. I think actually he's going to end up in Philadelphia. That Dave Dombrowski now has a blank check after taking that team to the World Series. Bryce Harper loves Trey Turner. Anything could fall apart, so I would cross him off. I'd cross Aaron Judge off, a bunch of different reasons, but probably going back to New York or San Francisco. But I wouldn't cross all of them off, no. Correa has a possibility, yes. Bogarts has a possibility. I mean, I mentioned to Sylvian Waddle last week, hey, don't expect an 8 to 10 year kind of deal for any of these shortstops. But as I've learned here in the last week, that doesn't mean they're all going to ask for 8 to 10 years. They're a little bit older than they were, let's say, you know, obviously a year or two. Correa is now a year older. He can't expect the same kind of deal he was expecting at the onset. So if we're looking at 4 or 5 years at high AAV, the answer is yes. They're not kicking these agents out of their suites, but they want the right deal to bring them in. Last thing, I don't think the agent market is necessarily going to be crazy. Think about the four that signed. This executive reminded me of this. Correa, Simeon, Seager, the four that signed Baez last year, none of them made the playoffs. Already Baez's contract looks bad. So that could hurt the group this year. Hey, we're not going to throw the world at. We're going to give you a Fort Knox. We a bunch of guys got a lot of money. They didn't make the playoffs last year. We're going to give you a nice contract. So that's where the Cubs would come in. If it's a nice contract and not a back-breaking contract, they'd be interested.
All right, Jesse, I'll try to be as nice as I can with this question about the White Sox. So out of that press conference with Grafal, the new manager, we kept hearing that the Sox need to play with more edge. You know, like, and I don't know what that means. I mean, I think Kenny Williams, when he was a general manager, he wanted that. He wanted a football team rather than a baseball team as far as the temperament to go day to day. Can you create that edge with the majority of these players that are still on the roster? That's the question, because if you're not spending money to put some new players on this team, an influx of talent on this team, I'm not saying wholesale changes, but you know you've got 4 or 5 DHs every game in the lineup for the White Sox, and you're not very good defensively, you are not hitting the baseball well, especially in the second half. So how are you supposed to play with that edge if you got the same players?
I think you hit the nail on the head. They're expecting Grafal to do that, and I go back to what Ozzie said at the beginning of the offseason, that hiring the manager will be their easiest task. Fixing the roster is that much tougher, and it's going to be true. Without money, it's going to be true. So, yeah, I think they're hoping Grafal can create that edge. I asked both Kenny and Rick yesterday, just casually, I'm like, do you need that quintessential position player leader? It's one thing when Liam Hendricks is doing it, or even Lance Lynn, but they're not out in the diamond every day. You know, they're out there every 5 days, and they didn't deny it. I actually mentioned a name to Kenny Williams. Michael Brantley has that kind of an edge. 35 years old, won't cost you a lot. Was a leader down in Houston. I mentioned this to Carmen yesterday. It's that kind of player they need, and you would think they'd have enough money for a 35-year-old, right? So Jay Hood, they're expecting Grafal to do it, but maybe they can find enough money to find that guy that kind of can have that edge, which permeates throughout the locker room, because you're right, they need it.
All right, real quick, Jess, we're just about out of time.
Sure.
Jed says we're trying to win. We know the White Sox have the talent to win. We'll see what they do. Are they truly trying to win if they're not going to play in the deep end of the pool?
I don't think they're truly trying to win, no. Now, they're going to meet with everyone. Here, I'll give you an example. Like, Matt Mervis deserves a shot, right? But they don't want to put all their eggs in their basket with Matt Mervis, so they might sign like a Trey Mancini. Yeah, what does he do for you? He's nice. I like the guy. He's a good leader, but it's not playing in the deep end of the pool. They already met with Mancini's agents. He's also the agent to Drew Smyly, who they may want to bring back. They met with Wilson Contreras' agents, who also have Martin Perez, who they might look at. So it's the 1 to 2 year kind of deals to be flexible again. To me, it's spending money like they did on Stroman and Suzuki, and then maybe if one of these shortstops works out. So it's kind of in between. It's being in the 5 foot end of the pool, not the 3 foot, not the 7 foot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. But I know
you're kind of in the middle.
I told you you're going to contend at 24, Cap. It's not going to be next year.
I'm not saying that they're winning the World Series next year. I would like them to look at a piece and go, that guy's around for the next 5 years. Trey Turner. He checks every box. Other than goofy John Hamm voice in his video, that guy checks every box.
Yeah, you know, I saw Mike Rizzo last night, his old GM, and he's like, dude, this guy's going to age well. He wants to play shortstop. He's an 80 makeup. He's everything you want. I just don't think he's coming to Chicago. But fine. Okay, well, let's get Xander Bogaerts. He's pretty good. So I think they're going to investigate all these things, but they're just not ready to push all their chips in. I think they're a team that's thinking about how to get to 80 wins next year, not 90 wins, and there's a big difference there.
They don't. If the Sox don't take care of this middle of this rotation and get better players, especially in the corner outfield, I'm going to hit the roof. You can't go back to 35th and Vec with that. It's an underachieving group. It's not good enough.
Agreed.
He's gonna have to be Houdini in the trade market. That's what's going to come down to. We'll see what he does. We're very early, but it's the one thing I got is, hey, Sox aren't spending. Agent after agent has told me that.
Jesse, have a great day, kid. Don't lose it all at the tables like Gordon did.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, we'll see you. There he is, Jesse Rogers in Vegas.
Cap and Jay Hood, cut of the day, next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day.
It's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. You go there and eat. Ask for David Flom or Matt. Excuse me, Coach Leach. David Flom or Matt Moore, they've cooked up one of the best dining experiences you'll ever, ever have. Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut! Oh, God!
Cap, explain to me, what is that?
I don't know. Like, he's an intelligent... This guy's a lawyer. Highly intelligent guy.
Please.
If I have to cough, I do this. Turn my mic button back on.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
And that is the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Mighty.
As you would say, clear it out, Coach Lee.
My God.
Well, then,
We marched it downfield.
Look that up yourself, everybody. Mike Leach in his press conference on Saturday. I mean, he just has
Mississippi State head coach.
He just had the worst coughing fit. I mean, it just.
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? Well, then, we marched it downfield.
Dying up there. Why is he dying up there, Cap?
So funny.
Here's a guy with a crazy cough, Joey G.
Our guy!
I love you.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Joey?
How are you?
We're good.
We're good, Joey.
Listen, I accidentally listened to Sylvie and Nolano yesterday.
Accidentally?
Accidentally. Those are our teammates.
Well, you know, you're my guys.
Uh-huh.
Even my son.
Yes.
That's it.
Dad?
He read off the last three games of stats for Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Yep.
If he has another game like that this week against Detroit, wouldn't he be like the quarterback of the month?
He's got a chance. He's out NFC Offensive Player of the Week this week.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, his numbers were better than the two old men, Aaron Rodgers and Tommy.
Yeah.
And I just think he should get some recognition for what he's done.
I agree.
Is that cough for me?
I don't know.
We don't know. We weren't playing.
We don't know. Is that?
I don't know. Hoodie's always got a trick up his sleeve.
I'm not even wearing sleeves. Wait a minute.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Well, you still got your vacation studs on?
Never mind. Thank you very much.
Joey, we love you.
Connor, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Our guy.
What was I'm flabbergasted.
I'm flabbergasted.
The Bears.
Yes. Thank you, Joey.
That when you've made it because you've got your own section of drops.
That's right.
In our board.
There's a Joey G part of our screen here.
We love that dude.
He's the best. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. The ESPN Chicago app, thanks to you for listening and twitching and calling. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Charlie, on the other side of the glass. We got Mike Greenberg coming up next. And by the way, if you won the Powerball, that guy, $2.04 billion.
One guy in California where you can get a hit of heroin legally in a clinic.
Yep.
But you can't lay TCU minus 7, as some tweeter appropriately said.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7. So long, everybody.
Take that.
I love you.
From Chicago.